Let's bring it. Let's bring it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Football.
Jay Robinson is here.
Oh, yeah.
Let's kick it off. Forgot, Rob. You can never forget. You are officially talking sports with the 12th man. What? Man, it's a special Wednesday night edition. We had to get it in right before the official launch of the NFL, but that is what we do. Once again, today is, what's today's date, Rob? Today is September the 3rd, and you are officially talking sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, as always, Mr. Robert Ford. Let's check in with Mr. Rob Ford. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, doing fantastic, man. Can't complain. You know, we got a lot going on. I was out there in California checking out the Oakland Raiders and their situation with Derek Carr, the quarterback position. So, you know, got a little bit more insight on what Dennis Allen was thinking there. And but all is good, man. How about with you?
Hey, man, like you said, no complaints, man. So let's go ahead and kick this off. And we got a lot of football to discuss. Without further ado, we would never be remiss without giving you our show numbers to call into the show. Once again, if you want to reach us and give us your thoughts, we always invite you guys to do so. The number to call into the show, it's 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. We're also available via social media. If you want to follow us on Twitter, hit us up in that format, as Rob always talks about. If you want to hit us up, just go to the number 12. Obviously, at the number 12, THMA in Sports, which is 12 Man Sports. And then finally, we are also available via Twitter, or via Facebook, excuse me. If you want to go to facebook.com/12ManSports, or if you actually type in Talking Sports with the 12th Man in the search, you'll find a lovely picture of myself, maybe one of Rob, too. But anyway, and that you'll be able to find us as well. But without further ado, let's keep this on, man. We had a lot of fun, man. We've been doing our fantasy football drafts. I just want to say thank you for everyone that joined in. We're looking forward to an exciting time. So, let's kick it right off the rip, sir. Are you ready to go?
Man, we got a lot to talk about, man. We got, this is almost like an NFL preview edition. And we got a little recap, college football week one, and a couple of games we want to talk about week two in college football that we want to highlight going forward, and maybe a little quick snippet of what our USA basketball team is looking like in the Basketball World Cup. So without further ado, let's get this party started.
Yes, sir. So let's talk about, there's a big deal, Rob, that was just announced with J.J. Watt, you know, obviously the defensive end from Houston, from the Texans. And I guess the question, and Rob, do you think he's actually worth all the money that he got? I'm actually looking up the number for the deal, too. But do you think he's worth all that he received from the Texans?
Well, 6 years, $100 million for... If he's not the best defensive player in the league, he's certainly a top five defensive player in the league.
Definitely.
I have to say there's no question about it. He's definitely worth it. And I think this is a good move for both parties here in this part. And I think this Texans team, I mean, I don't see them being a playoff team this year. And, you know, I think they're going to struggle at the quarterback position. I think they're going to struggle scoring points. But I think defensively, J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney, the pass rush is going to be fierce, and they're going to be, I think they're going to be in a lot of close games this year. That defense is going to keep them very competitive in a lot of close games, and I can see them somewhere in the 6-10 to 8-8 range this year by just alone their defense keeping them in games. But I think just from the quarterback standpoint, that's what's going to keep them from not making the playoffs this year. But I think they'll be competitive, but yeah, absolutely, J.J. Watt, in my opinion, is definitely worthy of the contract.
Yeah, the 6-year, $100 million contract, as you discussed. Like you said, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Great player, Rob. You know, he just goes about his business. You know, he's just been a dominant force, and they lock him up. And I agree with you. So if you didn't hear we're on the street too as well, and that obviously – the Texans made a play. They actually traded for Ryan Mallett from the Patriots. I think they had a 7th-round pick, depending on how well he plays, and may go up to a 5th-round pick. But they're trying to stabilize the quarterback position. They actually released Case Keenum. So, you know, like we talked about in our earlier shows, Rob, I'm pretty sure the Texans just knew how they were going to get Teddy Bridgewater, but, of course, they got snaked by the Vikings. And that was the one position, Rob, that you can tell in the preseason that wasn't their strong suit. So do you think Ryan Mallett is the answer for them, Rob, going down, you know, or do you think they're probably going to be looking for a quarterback in this coming up draft?
Well, I don't think he's going to be the answer this season. I mean, they just traded for him, and I think, you know, he's still got to learn the terminology. And obviously Bill O'Brien probably runs a similar offense to what they run in New England, and as he, you know, came from New England, of course. But I still, you know, I think it's a lot to ask a guy that's just coming in to come in and have an impact, maybe midseason, you know, or something like that. But I think by the end of this year, we'll probably have a better idea if Ryan Mallett could be their guy going forward or should they be drafting someone. But I think it's too early to tell. I think, you know, you got to let the process plays out. And I think he will get some playing time at some point this year. And I think by the end of the year, we'll know if they should build around Mallett or should they build by drafting a quarterback in the draft.
You sounded like Billy Knight there. The process is ongoing, but, you know, it's all good. We'll keep moving as always. Let's talk about another interesting player. We're kind of stuck on quarterbacks here. And Nick Foles, he was able, Rob, to turn in a masterful performance in Chip Kelly's offense. And, you know, there were some critics out there, myself included, if this was going to be successful in the NFL. Right now, Chip Kelly, he's actually proven us wrong here that this is a good offense. And Nick Foles had a really great year. So I guess the question is, you think he's kind of a one-year wonder or you think he's a future superstar? So I've got some Philly fans, Rob, that aren't impressed with Nick Foles. But what are your thoughts about it?
Well, I tell you what, obviously, you know, some Philly fans may see a lot more of him than I do. But based on what I've seen, I think this kid is a future superstar. I think he's got the arm talent. He's got size. I think he's got a great coach in Chip Kelly as far as coaching quarterbacks and coaching them up and things of that nature. I think, you know, I think Philadelphia is a Super Bowl contender because of Nick Foles and Chip Kelly. And I think their defense is going to be much improved this year. And as well, so I think this team is definitely a contender, and I have them winning the NFC East with ease this year. I think the NFC East is going to be one of the weakest divisions in the league this year. I think the Redskins are still not going to be quite up to par just yet. I think the Giants still going to struggle with the offensive line, Eli Manning learning a new West Coast offense, and obviously the Cowboys. If you look at their defense, the defense looks atrocious. And so I think the Eagles cakewalks this division. And I'm not saying the Eagles are going to win the Super Bowl, but they are definitely a contender. And I think Nick Foles is the guy.
I was going to have to check your meds there whenever you were talking about that at first. But, you know, I guess we'll definitely say that, you know, there's some – and the reason why, Rob, I'm talking about some fans just aren't sure about Nick Foles, I think they're kind of waiting because they're like, well, is this kind of a – they're kind of skeptical is the word I'm looking for because they're like, yeah, he had a great year, but is it like, can he really do it again? You know, so that's kind of the feedback that I'm receiving too. So, you know, they're just not sure if he's really the answer. Maybe they've been down that road before, so they're just going to sit back and wait and see how everything plays out. But, you know, as you mentioned, you know, they're probably the favorites to win that division. You kind of went over the teams in there, you know, Cowboys and whatnot and what happened, but you know, everything like you talk about with the Redskins, they're having issues with the quarterback as well as the name, the Redskin name that's causing some trauma too. But, you know, I think Philly definitely has an easy shot to win that division for sure.
Woo! Absolutely.
Let's keep up. So I guess we're going to talk about some predictions. I do want to talk about, before we kind of get into some predictions, I do want to talk about two different things here, Rob. I want to talk about Cowboys, speaking of that. They actually add Michael Sam to the practice squad, and I do want to talk briefly about Wes Welker as well, too. So what do you think about this move about the Cowboys? And, you know, Michael Sam is clearly not without a lot of controversy, it seems like. Is this a good move for the Falcons to add him to the squad? I mean, can he help their defense? Rob, what do you think?
Well, obviously the Cowboys picked him up as a practice squad player, so he's not quite on a 53-man roster. But I'm just going to evaluate this just from a football standpoint and football only. I'm not going to leave all the personal stuff out. And I actually was pretty impressed with Michael Sam in the preseason. And I was actually kind of surprised that the Rams didn't keep him on a 53-man roster. But obviously the Rams have one of the most talented defensive lines in all of football. So that might have been a tough team to crack as far as a defensive line. He's obviously better suited for a 4-3 defense. And we're at a point right now in the NFL where half the teams in the league are playing a 4-3 and the other half is playing a 3-4. So it's almost equal. And so obviously he's better suited as a 4-3 defensive end, and that's what the Cowboys are playing. So I think this is a nice pickup for the Cowboys to see what they have in them, see if he can possibly work his way up to the 53-man roster. But just like I say, I'm just evaluating this from a football standpoint. You know, I know he brings media attention, but I think based on what I saw in the preseason, I was actually pretty impressed with him as a player.
Yeah, I agree with you, Harvey, too. And just evaluating him as a football player, it's tough because, he's about 6'2", about 260, 265 maybe in that range. So he doesn't really leap off the page at you, Rob, you know, as far as he's not really athletic, overly athletic. So, you know, he's just kind of a tweener player, you know. So, that's why maybe the Cowboys made the decision to kind of pick him up. That was almost a Freudian slip there. But, they actually took a shot to add him to the practice squad. And, right now he's almost a one-dimensional player, Rob. All he can do is rush the passer. You hope that he becomes better in that instance. I'm sure he wasn't playing special teams for the Rams, and he's not really made for a linebacker. So, like you talked about, half the teams are 4-3, half the teams are 3-4. So he's almost like a situational pass rusher. So if you can afford to have a roster spot for him, if you can have that luxury, then I'm sure you can do that for a player like Michael Sam. So,
absolutely. And
go ahead.
And most teams have a place for a situational pass rush. It's a passing football league, and getting to the quarterback is very important. And so I think every team could use a player like that too. And, his size, he doesn't have the speed as a Dwight Freeney, but he's similar in size to Dwight Freeney. And, and then you look at a player for the New Orleans Saints who just got a big contract today. Junior Gallette is only about 6'2", 258. But both of those guys have explosive speed off the edge. And so that's probably the one thing that Sam is lacking. But as far as pass rushing ability, he has some moves that can get to the quarterback.
Yeah, he played very well during the preseason. Like I said, no complaints. I was actually like you. I was kind of surprised. But we knew it was a tough shot for him, but the Rams have a pretty phenomenal defensive line, so it would have been tough no matter what direction you decide to go with, too. So, but,
absolutely.
It's all good. All right, cool. Let's talk about some NFL playoff predictions. And if we have some time, I guess we're going to start with the AFC, if you don't mind, Rob. We can definitely move around if we have some time here. And, it's kind of kicking it off here. We got we'll start off with the AFC East here. You got the Bills, the Dolphins, the Patriots, and the New York Jets right now. So I'm pretty sure right now the top of that division, everyone's probably thinking of it, and it's no doubt should be the Patriots coming out of the AFC East, Rob.
Well, yeah, I like the Patriots in this division. There's no doubt about it. These teams in the East have a pretty weak schedule this year, but I'm going to say a team to watch is the Miami Dolphins. They knocked on the door a little bit last year. I think they finished, if I'm not mistaken, about 9-7 and missed the playoffs. I think the Patriots win a division. I like the Dolphins to sneak in the playoffs as a sixth seed this year.
Yeah, so if you're a Bills fan, I have to show some love to the Bills, man. I've got a lot of fans out there. I'm hoping that, Sammy Watkins is going to, heal up, because right now I'm getting a little worried about him because he's got a lot of little injuries here. But he looked phenomenal there in camp, so hopefully he's able to kind of heal up. And E.J. Manuel will finally have a target. But we'll keep an eye on that. And then obviously the Jets, what's happening with them. we'll keep an eye on that situation too.
Yeah.
Michael Vick and Geno Smith too. So, you know, interesting division, to say the least. But, yeah, like the Jets, excuse me, like the Patriots, like the Dolphins. And I was a Dolphins fan when I was a kid, man. I used to love, like, the Mark Duper and Mark Clayton. So that was just me. So I'm kind of hoping to see them rebound for sure.
Just one last quick statement on this. I think the Patriots and the Dolphins both have double-digit wins. I think the Jets and the Bills both have 5 wins or less. So I think it's going to be a top-heavy division and the real weak bottom end of the division.
Wow, good call. Let's talk about the AFC West. This is a pretty good division. And right now with the resurgent Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, as well as the Oakland Raiders, no doubt the Raiders, unfortunately, will always be at the bottom right now. You got to be definitely picking the Broncos, and I've got them, Rob, as my Super Bowl AFC contenders here. I think they're going to make it to the Super Bowl, but I think they're going to give some stiff competition with the Chiefs and the Chargers right behind them too. So this is a pretty good division as well.
Absolutely. I think the Chiefs take a slight step back this year. I think the Chiefs win about 8 or 9 games, but I like the Chargers as the second-best team in the division. And right now I have the Chargers getting in the playoffs as a wild card, as a 5th seed. I just mentioned I have the Dolphins getting in as a 6th seed. I have Denver as well, representing the AFC in the Super Bowl, but I have them getting in as a 2 seed. The only reason I have New England as the number 1 seed, New England has a weaker schedule this year, and so I do have them with the number 1 seed, but I have Denver beating New England in New England for the AFC Championship game, and Denver advances.
Yeah, they look like they're on a mission right now. Peyton Manning looks great. That defense is continuing to they added some pieces, so Denver looks like they're on a mission. I think Peyton Manning is going to win and retire off into the sunset. But anyway, we'll keep that in mind. Let's talk about the AFC North. This was actually a tough division for me to pick because there's two teams that you're trying to figure out what team we're going to get with the Cincinnati Bengals, Rob. You got the Bengals, the Ravens, the Browns, and the Steelers. I like a lot of the makeup for the Steelers. I'm just not sure if they're I can't put my finger on what everything's happening with Pittsburgh, but they're probably going to be the number 2 team in my thoughts, with the Ravens, and then rounded out with the Cleveland Browns. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts about this division as well.
Well, I have the Bengals winning the division. I think they're the most talented team in the division, and so I do think they will win it. I have the Ravens in second place in the division. I have the Ravens as a close second. Pittsburgh, I have them as a close third, too. I think it's going to be a real close division. But I think Baltimore and Pittsburgh will just miss out on the division. I still have Cleveland with 5 wins or less. I have them at the bottom of the division. Too much question marks at the quarterback position for them. I have Cincinnati winning the division, and they'll be the only team from this division, in my opinion, that makes the playoffs. And they will be the number 4 seed in the AFC.
I got my pup in the background. Apology, America. I guess she's agreeing with me for the picks there. Let's keep it moving. Let's talk about the AFC South here. And we were talking about the Texans earlier, but you got the Texans, the Colts, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, another interesting thing, if you're leaning correctly, I think you're going to pick the Colts to win this division. Only because of attrition. The next two teams are going to be tough, man, because right now I've got a slight edge to Tennessee. And then obviously the Texans are probably around third, and then fourth is Jacksonville. Only because I think Jacksonville actually got it right in their quarterback. They're probably not going to play him this year. Their plan is to, because I want to say they want to get their offensive line a little bit better, but Blake Bortles is definitely I believe he's an up-and-coming quarterback. He did a great job in the preseason. They may be starting Chad Henne just because they want to protect Bortles. But, they've got a lot of promise for the future, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about it. In my opinion, if it was up to me, I would throw Blake Bortles in the fire, let him grow on the job. I think that'll make him that much better going into the next season. But I would agree with you in the order that you predict. I like Indy to win it. I think Tennessee is going to be a much improved ball club this year. I think if Jake Locker could stay healthy, I thought he was very impressive for the most part in the preseason. I think Ken Whisenhunt has got a good plan for him and helping him with his development. And as I mentioned, Houston, I think, is going to be a stud defensively, but they're going to have question marks at the quarterback position. So I agree with the same order of finish. And I have Indy as the 3 seed in the AFC. And so I pretty much, have my 6 seeds there. That would mean Indy would be the 3 seed going against Miami, the 6 seed. I would have to say Indy would advance in that matchup. I'm going to say Cincinnati finally wins a playoff game. They'll be the 4 seed and beat San Diego, the 5th seed. But I think Cincinnati goes to New England and loses. I think Indy goes to Denver and loses. I think Denver goes on the road and beat New England in the AFC Championship game. And I agree with you with Denver representing the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Love it. We've got about 9 minutes left in the show. Once again, I'm going to throw out the numbers just real briefly. If you want to call into the show and share your thoughts, if we are showing some love for the AFC portion, once again, 424-243-9519 is that number. Once again, 424-243-9519. So we've got about 9 minutes, and I guess we'll kick it off with the NFC. And let's kick it off, Robin. I'm going to start, obviously, with the NFC East. You talked about it earlier. You got the Cowboys, the Giants, the Eagles, and the Redskins. Eagles, you've got them as a contender in the playoffs. I agree with you. They're probably going to win that division. Right now, it's a toss-up between the next two teams. You know, you can go Giants. The Giants can be helter-skelter. I'll pick them. I'm kind of torn here. I'll go third for the Cowboys only because I think the Redskins have more challenges with the quarterback as well as the Redskins stuff. So that's the only reason why. But I would have picked the Cowboys last. But it's going to be an interesting division for sure, sir. Well, so what are your thoughts?
Yeah, the Eagles, I have them as the number 3 seed in the NFC. I have them as the only team making it to the playoffs out of this division. And obviously I think Dallas and the Giants is a toss-up for number 2. But I definitely agree with you. I have the Redskins in last place in the division. And still some question marks on this team, like as you mentioned. It's all about RG3. It depends on, if he can come back to his level of a couple of years ago. And if he can, I think they can compete with the Eagles. I just don't see it just yet. So right now I have them in last place.
Let's talk about the NFC West. This is a really good division. So case could be said that 3 teams can come out of here, but, that's a lot. But you got the 49ers, the Seahawks, the Cardinals, and the Rams out of this division. A lot of people say, Rob, it's tough for the NFC champion to come back and to make the playoffs, let alone represent for the Super Bowl. But I think if any team can do it, it's definitely Seattle. I think it's going to be tough for them because they've lost some pieces on the defensive side. I think Pete Carroll will do a good job. You just hope that they can keep staying hungry for that, because right now you would have to say them as the favorites as far as repeating winning the division. With San Francisco coming second, Cardinals in tight third, and the Rams obviously rounding out that division.
Yeah, I have the Seahawks winning the division again. I have them getting in as the number 4 seed in the NFC, and so I have them as the number 4 seed. I have Arizona in second place, believe it or not. I think San Fran takes a drop this year. I think San Fran misses the playoffs. Colin Kaepernick, it doesn't seem like his game is progressing, in my opinion. There's a little bit of issues on the offensive line, even though Alec Boone is back now. Defensively, they have a ton of problems right now. Glenn Dorsey out for the season, Ray McDonald issues there. Navarro Bowman looked like he's going to be out at least the first 6 games. I had the 49ers completely missing the playoffs this year. They'll be in third place in that division. I have Arizona in second place. I think Arizona gets in as a wild card. They will be the number 5 seed. This Arizona team, you got to remember, this team was 10-6, 11-5, missed the playoffs last year. I think they get in as a wild card as a number 5 seed. This is a talented group, this Arizona team. Michael Floyd, Larry Fitzgerald, they can get some good quarterback play out of Carson Palmer. That's a couple of dangerous receivers. And Michael Floyd may have even surpassed Larry Fitzgerald as the better receiver on the team. And you have Patrick Peterson. You're going to get Tyrann Mathieu here in a minute. I think they're, even though they lost Darnell Dockett, I think they'll be able to get by. They'll be the second place team in this division. The Rams, obviously, quarterback issue once again will bring up the rear.
Rob's number is 9. No, I'm just joking. for my, I was gonna make sure that everyone knew how to get you in San Francisco. No, but it's all good. I love the intensity, and I love the prediction here as well.
No, we got a lot of listeners in the Bay Area. I hate to break that news to y'all.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll try to keep it pretty objective as well. So it's all good. All right, we got 5 minutes here. Let's kind of kick this off here. I'm sure we're very excited about our NFC South predictions here. But let's kind of kick it out. We've got the NFC North, as mentioned, the Bears, the Lions, the Packers, Vikings. This is another pretty good division as well. I guess if you're a betting man and you had to, you know, put me against the wall, I'd have to say the Packers would probably win this division. It's tough because you like the Lions. I like the Vikings only because of Adrian Peterson, and then it's tough. This is a tough one. I mean, because you could go Bears, and you know you can go Vikings. Either you kind of flip those two, but only because of the fact that this is a pretty offensive division. Rob, what are your thoughts for this? This could be all over the place for sure.
Well, obviously, I like Green Bay winning this division. I think Green Bay is I think they're set up to have a great year with Aaron Rodgers back and Julius Peppers on that defense.
Yeah.
I like this Packers team a lot. I have them as the number 2 seed in the conference. I have them making it all the way to the NFC Championship game. So I like this Packers team a lot. Now, the way I'm struggling with who finished second in this conference, in this division, rather. Chicago and Detroit has been a huge toss-up for me. I've settled on Chicago being that second-place team in this division. I like their receivers, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte. Their defense has to be better, but I think they'll get in. I think the offense will be great with Mark Trestman as the head coach there. I think they get the last wild card spot in the NFC. I think they're the number 6 seed in the NFC, and they'll finish second. I think Detroit just misses out. They'll finish number 3, and Minnesota quarterback issues abound. They'll be in last place.
Gotcha. So the all-important, we got about 3 minutes. So after we do this one, we're going to kick it off for the 2 minutes to the OT portion. The NFC South, this is the one division we've been waiting for here. We've got some representatives on both sides here, being Falcons and Saints. Falcons, Panthers, Saints, and the Bucks. I'm going to be very objective here, and I would say that the Saints are the favorites to probably win this division, no doubt. I know we got a lot of question marks here in Atlanta with our new rebuilt offensive line and the toughness and all that fun stuff. I'm only going to have them finish in second only because I'm hoping that's going to be the case. I actually like the Bucks in third, and I like the Panthers. I'm not quite sure what they have. I know they got a good defense, but I'm really going to think that's going to be tough for Cam as far as offensively in this particular division too. So what are your thoughts about the NFC South, Rob?
Wow, very objective. Hard to believe you're picking the Saints, but I have to agree with you for the most part in this division. I think the Saints, as scary as this sound, I think the Saints are going to be even better offensively and defensively, and I think they'll be the number 1 seed in the NFC this year and be the NFC representative in the Super Bowl against the Broncos. I do have the Falcons in second place. I think obviously getting Julio Jones back, and I like this kid, Devontae Freeman. I think he's going to help them with being a good pass catcher out of the backfield as well. So I think, you know, they'll be pretty good offensively. They're going to have to overcome some offensive line issues. Carolina, they're depleted in wide receivers, so I think they'll drop, even though the defense is still going to be a stud. It's probably going to keep them in a lot of games, but I have them in third. I still have Tampa in last place in the division.
Gotcha. Man, we were able to get that in. I know you want to go ahead and put that. We got about a minute or so, Rob, to get ready for the OT portion. You're going to kick it off, and thank you for listening in. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, next Tuesday we'll be back to our regular scheduled program, people, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. For our friends in Hawaii, aloha, it'll be 5 p.m. Hawaiian time. So next Tuesday we'll be back to our regular scheduled night program. We appreciate you guys sticking with us in our adjustments to our schedules. We certainly appreciate it. We'll be more football, recapping week 1 in the NFL, and, of course, week 2 of college football, and previewing the following week. So stay tuned to our OT portion. Tune into it tomorrow. We got still got a lot of predictions to come here in our OT portion, so you don't want to miss it.
Yeah, as Robert mentioned, we'll hopefully be back on our regular scheduled time. Keep an eye on us via Twitter and Facebook. We'll talk about that. We're going to kick it off with a great college football weekend, our top teams, as well as some predictions, as well as the USA basketball update. Good night, people.
Good night, world.
We are officially into the OT portion of the show, and which is pretty cool, Rob. So, you know, obviously everyone was excited about the first week of college football. A lot of great games, man. I was impressed. And not only this, Rob, if you're a Georgia fan, you're probably looking at it like, wow, you know, Todd Gurley. There's some running backs, Rob, that could actually take over some Heisman moves over some quarterbacks. You know, you got Melvin Gordon. Unfortunately, I know he was running a little crazy over LSU and they lost, but he looked very, very impressive against that tough SEC defense. And Todd Gurley, man, you talk about a guy that just, you know, just blowing the doors off, man. This guy, I think he has the capability of being a top five pick if he stays healthy. So, you know, I don't know. I guess I'd like to turn you over some top teams here, top five teams. Obviously, I think it's Florida State, Alabama, Oregon, Oklahoma, and I kind of like all Georgia over Auburn, but that's kind of what I pick for the top five, if you will, too. So what do you think as far as right now your top five? Any comments as far as week one?
Yeah, obviously I still have Florida State number one, even though I think Oklahoma State gave them a run for their money in that ball game. I don't think Winston was as impressive as it was last year, at least in that ball game. But Oklahoma State is a pretty good ball club. Mike Gundy is a game coach, and so you knew they were going to be ready. But I'm going to still leave Florida State in that spot, even though I wasn't overly impressed with them. Same with Alabama. I still have them at number two. I was not overly impressed with Arizona, particularly their defense, which was very surprising to me. They had some secondary issues in that ball game. But, you know, I'm going to still leave them at the number two spot for now. They did win the game. Number three, I still have Oregon. They got a big test this weekend. We're going to talk about that in a little while against Michigan State. We'll find out a little bit more about them this coming weekend. Number four, Oklahoma. I still have them. Trevor Knight. I think they're going to be tough to slow down their offense this year. And they're better defensively this year, too. I still have them as a strong contender. Right now, I would have to say coming into the season, I thought Auburn was a little bit overrated. But after seeing a good bit of that game against Arkansas, I'm going to leave them in that number five spot. I was pretty impressed with them, especially the way they played in the second half. Nick Marshall seems to be improving as a thrower as well. And so there's still some weapons on that team. I thought we're losing Trey Mason, Greg Robinson, and Dee Ford. They would have a drop-off, but I was still impressed. But that's my top five for now. But I'll just say this real quick. Three teams that I was very impressed with that is not in my top five. You just talked about Georgia. Georgia's one of them. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Todd Gurley is definitely right up there in the Heisman race. I was extremely impressed with Georgia. I would have to say, based on what I saw this weekend, they are the favorite to win the SEC East, and there's no doubt about it. They may win it with a cakewalk. Obviously, the SEC West has been a stronger division, but I think Georgia will cakewalk to the East Division Championship. Todd Gurley, once again, tremendous load. Georgia's a team to watch. A couple other teams to watch, in my opinion, Texas A&M. I was extremely impressed with them offensively. Kenny Hill, quarterback's only a sophomore. If he keeps playing like that, you have to say he and Todd Gurley are two favorites for the Heisman right now. And obviously the rest of the SEC West was like shaking their heads looking at Texas A&M the way they gave South Carolina that beatdown the other night. So this is a team to watch tremendously. And we just talked about Alabama and Auburn already being in the top five in SC West. And you got Texas A&M knocking on the door. You still have LSU somewhere in the mix. And so that's going to be an extremely competitive division. And so, but I was thoroughly impressed with Texas A&M and Georgia. And the third team I was thoroughly impressed with, as ranked outside of my top five right now, is USC. Cody Kessler, a quarterback, I thought was phenomenal. And Steve Sarkisian looks like he's got a team there in Los Angeles. The only thing that worries me about USC is a lack of depth. I think you can put their starters up against any team in the country, but this team would almost have to stay pretty much healthy or injury-free because of their scholarship reductions. They don't have as much depth as some of the major teams do. But there is talent in Los Angeles at USC, and Cody Kessler looks like a pro prospect at the quarterback position.
Yeah, and I was gonna literally throw that out to you too. You kind of like stole the words from Mouthman. We were talking about some other teams that we were very impressed with, and you talk about Kevin Sumlin, Rob. He probably was smirking the whole time, you know, whenever he's like, "Oh yeah, I think we'll be okay without Johnny Football." And you know, Kenny Hill, as you mentioned, just came out. That was his coming out party. I'm sure that South Carolina just thought that they were just going to cakewalk, and you talk about the tide getting turned. But Kevin Sumlin, man, he's going to be a phenomenal coach, man. I think he has the capability to be an NFL coach too. But impressive class, and what a great showing for Texas A&M, Rob, because they're right there once again in it. And once again, they're going to get some good recruits moving forward too, Rob, to the least.
Yeah. Well, they got a heck of a recruiting class this past year. There's going to be a lot of players who want to play with them in that offense. I mean, they got a kid out in the New Orleans area, LSU's backyard, Speedy Noel. Look out for him. He was one of the top recruits in the country last year, and they beat LSU for him right in their backyard. And so this guy is going to be able to get offensive talent. The only question mark for Texas A&M is, do they have an SEC-caliber defense?
Defense, yep.
I think they're better, but I still don't think it's SEC caliber yet. They're going to have to still outscore people, and did they outscore out South Carolina? Man, they really did. I think you and I both picked South Carolina to win that game last week, and
Were
we both wrong on that. And but Texas A&M offensively looks scary. It looks as though they'll be able to score points on just about anybody.
Yeah, impressive at least too. So let's talk about it. I do want to talk. I know we were kind of alluding to that earlier. We're going to talk about some matchups here that we had, and I guess the big matchup, we've got USC, number 14 USC at number 13 Stanford. This is a pretty interesting matchup. I know you were giving a lot of love to my USC quarterback here. What do you think as far as this? I know you talked about Cody Kessler. You know, he looks like a pro prospect. Excuse me. Do you think he has enough to outplay a very, very, you know, obviously talented Stanford team?
I tell you what, I've been wrestling with this pick and wrestling with it for 2 to 3 days now, going back and forth, and I'm still having a hard time settling on it. I was very impressed with USC, but I am going to go with Stanford in a nail biter just because they're at home. I think if this game was on a neutral field, I would pick USC. I think USC might be a slightly better ball club. But I'm going to go with Stanford. Stanford brings a certain physicality to the game. I think they win this game because they're at home. They win by field goal.
Yeah, like you talked about, that defense is going to prevent a stiff challenge. But that's why it's going to be – whenever you're looking at the ratings, Rob, they're both 12 and 13, so it's like it's a very evenly matched team. But like you said, you may have to give the edge only because of a home field advantage to Stanford. I know that USC has some pretty speedy receivers, obviously, but we'll see how that plays out because I think Stanford's a little bit more physical, but it's going to be a close game no matter what, to say the least here. Let's talk about another very, very, very good matchup. Number 7, Michigan State, at number 3, Oregon. I always try to lean towards defense in this analysis. I'm very, very impressed with Michigan State, Rob. Do you think they have enough weapons to slow down Oregon, I guess is the question? I'm leaning towards them. And let me see, is it at Michigan State or is it – okay, they're at Oregon. Okay, that's going to be a little tougher. But what are your thoughts about this particular game in this instance?
I like Oregon in this game, and I think they can win this game by 2 touchdowns.
I think Michigan
State is a very good defensive team, but I just don't think they're going to be able to keep up with Oregon offensively. I don't think Michigan State offense will be able to score as much as Oregon offense is going to score. So I like Oregon in this game. And like I said, I can see this game being something like a 28-14 or 35-21. I see Oregon winning this game by 2 touchdowns.
Wow, all right. I would give them a slight edge for the home field advantage. But most times if you've got a good defense, you can shut an offense. But like you said, if it gets to a situation That offense is going to get rolling. You may tire out that Michigan State defense, so we'll keep an eye on that. Okay, that's going to be a very exciting game as well. Let's end it strong, Rob. Let's talk a little bit more about USA basketball upset. I know they were just blowing out a team here, if I'm not mistaken, too. I don't know if it was Turkey or not, but give us a quick update about that, and we'll get ready to wrap up the show.
Well, obviously, they beat Dominican Republic here pretty strong today. They beat New Zealand pretty strong yesterday. Come from behind win against Turkey over the weekend. I have to say Anthony Davis and Kenneth Faried is having a phenomenal tournament, and they're really bringing some, you know, athleticism. I think this USA basketball team has the perfect blend of athletic bigs and snipers on the outside. What I mean by snipers, they got some great shooters. Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson are really shooting the ball very well. And of course, you know, the athletic big men, Kenneth Faried, Anthony Davis, doing a phenomenal job. I think the only team that presents a challenge is going to be Spain. And the only way they're going to meet is if they meet for the gold medal game. Spain, obviously, is Pau Gasol, who's having a tremendous tournament. I tell you what, if he keeps playing like this, the Chicago Bulls should be extremely ecstatic about having his services next season. And so Spain is doing a tremendous job of moving the basketball, getting quality shots, getting great play from their bigs, and Pau Gasol, Marc Gasol, and Serge Ibaka on their ball club. So I think Spain is the one team that has a chance to dethrone the USA. So that will be interesting when that time comes.
Good call, Rob, and I think you hit the nail on the head, too. It's a good mix. You got to be impressed with a lot of players getting a lot of confidence, like Mason Plumlee. He's been playing extremely well. Andre Drummond's been playing well. You know, good blend of players from, like you talk about, Steph Curry. DeMar DeRozan is doing a fantastic job. So it's been a good representation for the USA. They blew out some team by 60-something crazy points, if I'm not mistaken. But, yeah, the one thing that could pose a challenge is Spain, because obviously a lot of players are playing in the NBA. So that's the one squad that understands fundamentally and whatnot, too. So that's going to be a good game to watch. So we'll keep an eye on that. That's whenever I'm going to tune in for certain squads, too. But good call on all fronts as well. So that is our show, Rob. I don't know if you want to say anything before we get to wrap up this edition of Talking Sports with the 12 Men.
Oh, make sure you guys join us on next Tuesday. We'll be recapping week one of the NFL. We'll be recapping week two of college football. We're going to preview week two of the NFL and preview week three of college football. So you definitely don't want to miss us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Aloha. Of course, we got a big game this Sunday. Saints coming up to Atlanta.
We'll keep about that, because there's going to be one person's going to be happy, one person's going to be mad. But no, it'll be good. We keep it fun. We look forward to broadcasting the show as always. I want to say once again, Rob, thank you for the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. We appreciate that. I know it's been getting a lot of awareness, so both of us are able to do the challenge. Maybe we'll post that on our page, man. But that was fun.
Yeah, you just
for sure
took the words out of my mouth. I think we should post it on the Talking Sports page. Yeah.
yeah. So we'll have fun with that too. But no, it was good, and we got to bring awareness to that. Like we talked about earlier, I know some people may be getting sick of that, but it is for a good cause, and it's a great way for us to drive awareness, because I don't think we had as much awareness last year to this particular disease. So now, by doing the challenges and everyone's joining in too, so it's just a phenomenal time to bring some awareness too, Rob.
Absolutely. Like I said, it's just to continue the education of it and to continue to bring it to everyone's attention and bring awareness to the situation as we try to fight this horrible disease.
Well, all right. Well, like I said, we really appreciate everyone tuning in. We're looking forward to tomorrow. We start off the official NFL season. Don't forget to get your fantasy, your roster set as we get ready for our first game. But other than that, we thank you guys, and we'll see you guys next week.
Go Saints. Who that?
Go Falcons. We'll rise up. We'll talk to you later. Good night.
Good night, people.